Way back in 2001, I was thinking about entering the seminary. And I went to talk to Father Bob Harris, who was then the vocation director, which means he's the person in charge of guiding the men who are thinking about entering the priesthood. And so I went to see him, and I started to ask Father Harris a whole bunch of questions because I had absolutely no clue as to how entering the seminary, studying to be a priest, worked. I asked how long it takes to become a priest. Can I go, you know, can I attend classes at night while I work during the day? Can I do this part-time? Do I stay in my apartment and commute? I don't know. How does this work? I had no clue what was involved. All I knew was that I felt that the Lord was calling me to this, but I had no idea as to the particulars of it. And I remember Father Harris looking at me like I was a complete dope. And he asked, you know, especially when I asked if I could continue to work and maybe sign up, you know, part-time. Is there like a, can I audit these classes? Can I be like an independent student or, I don't know, something like that? And then he, you know, he patiently explained to this dope before him that, no, entering the seminary is not a part-time thing. That I'd have to give up my job, my apartment, the lease on my car, all of that in order to commit myself full time to this. And he explained to me, although I didn't get it at the time, that discipleship of any kind requires commitment and putting our trust in God. Yeah, I get it, I said, but you have to understand, you know, I have a lease on my apartment. I just signed a 3-year lease on my car. I have a job that pays pretty well. And he smiled and he said, yeah. Try talking to your landlord. Maybe he'll let you out of the lease. Same thing with the car. And have you talked to them at work about the, you know, maybe taking a sabbatical or a leave of absence? And so I did. I talked to my landlord, and he was really happy to see me enter the seminary, and he gladly let me out of the lease. And as for the car lease, well, just at just the right time, you know, this cousin of a friend was looking for a car just like I had, so he took over the lease. And as far as the job went, well, they weren't that open to it, to the idea of taking a leave of absence, but I knew that job was not how I wanted to spend the rest of my work life anyway, so. But it actually turned out that it wasn't all these material or practical considerations that was holding me back from entering the seminary, from saying yes to God. What was really holding me back was my own fears. And for me, my brand of fear is the fear of failing. And the fear of what other people would think. What if I try and I fail? What then? What do I do then? You know, what if, you know, after I told my family and friends that I was going to do this, what if I fail? What if I discover that God isn't actually calling me to be a priest? What will people think? Will they think that I'm a failure, a fool? What if ultimately the bishop decides that I'm not what he wants as a priest? What will I say to people? What will they think? All of those fears are swirling around my head. And it wasn't easy. And it took me actually a year of prayer and really trying to figure out what it was that was holding me back before I was able to actually say yes and commit. And it's still an ongoing process of my life of learning to trust God more and more and to let go of my fears. It's an ongoing process of learning more and more to put the Lord Jesus Christ at the center of my life. You know, as I said recently in other homilies, God's hopes and dreams for me are way bigger and way more wonderful than my own. But it's an ongoing process of letting go of the fear that I might not live up to the hopes and dreams that I think God has for me. Most of us have things that hold us back from trusting God fully, things that we think prevent us from putting God first and truly following him. And in the gospel today, Jesus is talking about the commitment that's required to follow him, to truly put him at the center of our life. And the gospel has people giving all kinds of excuses for not following Jesus now. You know, for putting it off, for saying, yeah, one day I'll do it, or I just need to do this. I just got to do that. Jesus knows their hearts. He knows that the excuses they're giving are just that, excuses. It's actually fear that's holding them back. Fear of commitment, fear of failing, fear of what others might think, fear of the unknown, fear of losing something in the process. And Jesus knows that that fear can be paralyzing, that it can prevent people from doing what they know is right, what they know is good. Fear can prevent people from even from ever fulfilling their own hopes and dreams, let alone the God-sized dreams that the Lord has for them. Fear can be paralyzing, and it can prevent us from not only committing to something good, it can prevent us from acting at all. I've told this story before, but I think it's a good illustration. My mother is afraid of snakes. She's like deathly afraid of them, in fact. And one time, she went up to a cottage, and when she arrived there, gets onto the driveway, gets out of the car, she saw a garter snake on the driveway. Just a harmless little garter snake on the driveway. Well, she fell back into the car. She got back into the car, she closed the door, and she actually locked the door, like the snake was gonna unlock it, like it was gonna try and open the door on her. And she locked the door, and she stayed there, paralyzed in fear, for an hour or two before she'd hoped that the snake had maybe, and I remember her telling me she would pray that a hawk would come down and eat the snake. That was her prayer. She's looking up in the sky through the windshield trying to see if there's a hawk around to come and eat the snake. And after an hour or so, she gets out of the car to see if the snake is still there. For more than an hour, she was trapped and she was unable to make any move back or forward because of fear. Over and over in the Bible, God says, be not afraid. Over and over in the gospel, Jesus tells his disciples, be not afraid. Peter sees Jesus walking on water, and he's actually able to do it himself. Peter actually is able to get out of the boat and walk on water too, until he starts to be afraid. Then he starts to drown and reaches out to Jesus to save him. I read a book a few years ago about the priesthood, and it was called The Lost Art of Walking on Water. But I think it applies to all those who make the choice to follow Jesus, not just priests. I believe we're all called to greatness in some way, to heroism, and to things that actually seem miraculous. But fear so often prevents us from actually believing we're capable of it. Well, guess what? There's good news. You aren't capable of it. Don't worry about it. On your own, you are incapable of doing those miracles. But with God, we are capable of incredible things. We can walk on water. And in trusting in the Lord, we can overcome seemingly impossible situations. I just saw this quote from Pope Francis today, in fact. Today, Pope Francis used this in a speech he was giving. The Lord does not work miracles in those who consider themselves righteous, but with those who know themselves needy. The Lord does not work miracles in those who consider themselves righteous, but with those who know themselves needy. When we turn to the Lord, when we go to Him with our fears, we can walk on water. That relationship with a parent, a child, a spouse that seems irreparably broken can be mended. It may take courage and fearlessness to take the first step, and it may even require a second and third step too. And it may seem impossible to forgive without God being there. And it may seem impossible to ask for forgiveness, but it can be done with Him. It may take boldness to step up and fix some sort of toxic situation, a work environment that seems untenable anymore. It may even require courage to ultimately leave a job that makes us miserable and seemingly start over. But with God, it can be done. With placing our fears, letting go of our fears with Christ, it can be done. It may take way more guts than we think that we have to step up and actually walk on water, but it is possible. Now, I remember once talking about work, a toxic work environment. I remember once when I was working in an office that I had to talk to one of my employees about his BO. It was actually toxic for the people around him. They found it, his colleagues started to complain to me that his BO was just something, you know. And imagine having to go talk to somebody about that. It took me a week to figure out how I was going to address that situation, what I was going to say. It took me a week of praying about it, actually, and to talk about, to figure out what to say. Now just imagine if the roles were reversed and I had to talk about to my boss rather than employee, not about toxic BO, but about a toxic work environment. I would have been so afraid of that. That would have been scarier for me than trying to walk on water. Walking on water starts with letting go of the fear that holds us back and deciding to trust Jesus. As I've said before, believing in Jesus is one thing, but believing Jesus when He tells us to be not afraid and calls us to walk on water, that's a whole other thing. It's a whole other level of trust. For me, entering the seminary required that I let go of fear, and I actually had to pray to ask what it was that I was truly afraid of, because I didn't realize it. I needed God to reveal to me that it was fear of failing and what of others would think that was really holding me back. And once I realized that, it was a whole lot easier to work on letting go of those fears. Jesus is calling you to walk on water, to do something great. He may be calling you to serve in the church in some way, to serve your family in some way, to serve the poor and the marginalized in some way. And it's so easy to find excuses. I don't have the time. I don't have the skills. I don't think I'd be good at it. I'd botch it up. I just need to do this thing first, or I just need to get myself into this situation first. Then, you know, I can give all of my time to whatever it is. They're excuses. Ask the Lord to show you what's really holding you back, where your real fear lies. You need to know what it is before you can let go of that fear. And you may have already said yes to following Him. Wonderful. But there's probably a part of you that you're still afraid to give more of yourself to the Lord. A part of your life that you're still afraid to trust God with. Jesus is asking you to let go of that fear, to commit yourself fully to Him. St. Paul today says, "Brothers and sisters, for freedom Christ has set us free. Stand firm, therefore, and do not submit again to the yoke of slavery." That's what St. Paul says. For freedom Christ has set us free. And do not submit again to a yoke of slavery. I say a yoke of fear. What fear does Christ want to set you free from? And what is he calling you to do with that freedom? He sets you free, but free to do what? In what way is he asking you to walk on water? In what way is he calling you to greatness? And what do you need to let go of to put your trust in him? To say yes.